Today on More to Life, nobody's perfect. Struggling with perfectionism, tired of never feeling good enough. Let us help you relax without lowering your standards. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, nobody's perfect. Are you struggling with perfectionism? Tired of never feeling good enough? Tired of other people imposing impossibly high standards on you? We are here to help. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
I think that a lot of people think that they're free from perfectionistic, that's a riot, that's ironic that I messed that up, perfectionistic tendencies. I don't think it's true. I think that we all have the voices in our heads put on us by society, by our past teachers, by our parents, whoever those things are, by social media, that tells us that in some way we have to be perfect. And even if we don't do everything perfectly, we feel it. And that sometimes will do the exact opposite of being perfect or reaching for some perfect standard. It can shut us down. It can make us feel like so much less than that we don't even try. You know, it's like, oh, my house will never be perfect. I can't live to that standard. Why bother to clean it? Why bother to make it pretty for myself? I'm never going to reach that status that somebody else has for whatever reason is in our head. So why even bother to apply for a job that I would enjoy more? The messages go on and on and on and can either make us strive so hard that we burn ourselves out and we lose our joy in life, or freeze us in place so that we have such a struggle doing anything positive for ourselves that we get stuck and don't enjoy life.
Well, I have one example of perfectionism that I think everybody falls prey to. In fact, I've had, off the top of my head, at least four or five conversations with people this week who were beating up on themselves for their quote unquote negative feelings.
You know, oh, wow.
So they might feel irritated with an elderly parent or frustrated with a child or upset with their spouse. And they think that they're sinning because they have this angry or frustrating or resentful feeling.
Interesting.
And, of course, that's not true. And I was able to share a very simple but practical insight with all these folks that really set them free from that. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because I don't want to hear from you.
They need to wait for the rest of the show.
But that is one way that we are unnecessarily perfectionistic, where we say to ourselves, if I have any negative feelings about anybody else, you know, clearly I'm not being a good Christian. I'm not being a good enough person.
I'm not striving for sainthood, because we have this sense that saints didn't struggle with normal feelings like that. That if that feeling came, they could immediately, through the grace of the Holy Spirit and their incredibly powerful sainthoodness, cast it away and choose the better part.
So, fun fact, that's not Christianity, that's Buddhism.
Thank you. Thank you. And you got to define that a little bit, though, because people are going to freak out when you say that.
Well, the Buddha, Siddhartha, it was believed that enlightenment meant not feeling things, basically being detached from all emotion. Whereas
and if I remember correctly from when we we were in Hong Kong and we learned about some of this. In order to do that, he rejected his elderly parents, his wife and his son, to go away and not have to deal with that.
Yeah, he lived in isolation. So that he
yeah, and he hadn't been a single man who could go and live in isolation. He dumped his family. Now, you know, it's just an interesting concept that we often look at our own Christianity through that, like, yeah, lens that has kind of pervaded social media and the world.
And the Christian response to it, and I'm talking about it a little bit, is that whatever we're feeling, we have to bring that back to God and ask Him to teach us how to respond to it. So it's not don't feel that. It's God, teach me how to respond to this feeling in a way that glorifies you, that produces good fruit. And we'll talk about all that. But that's just one example of perfectionism. And there are sort of two strains of it, right? There's the kind of perfectionism that we pile on ourselves, the kind of perfectionism that we pile on other people.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call. Do you tend to beat up on yourself for not being good enough, either in one particular role you play, like, you know, work or a parent, or just in general not feeling good enough and beating up on yourself every day for not getting it right, not doing the thing? You know, maybe you feel like you can never be a good enough parent. Maybe you feel like an imposter at your job. Maybe you just never feel like a good enough person in general. For that matter, maybe somebody else is putting their impossibly high standards on you. You know, you've got a spouse who just never is happy with anything. A parent who never seems to approve of anything you do. A child, whether that's a young child or an adult child, who you feel like you can never do enough for because they're never happy. They're never content with you. Or maybe you just struggle with being too hard on the people you love, setting impossibly high standards on them. Of course, the other way, of course, is if you care about somebody who is stuck in this perfectionistic trap.
Yep.
You know, that child who's beating themselves up because they got an A- instead of an A, you know, or that kid who, you know, is just beating themselves up because they didn't do well at the game or at the recital. And you know, we love those people and we want to support them, but sometimes the more we try to say, hey, but you did this well, and you think of it this way, the more it just blows up in our face and they get frustrated with us. So if you are struggling with perfectionism in any of its forms, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And when we're talking about these people who might be putting too much on us, they might no longer be in our lives, or we might not be in that position. We can be, excuse the word, but haunted by people who put those messages in our heads when we were younger. And they may even have gotten off your back. You know, mom and dad aren't on your back anymore. They're still there, but they're not, you know, making you do all this stuff. But, whew, you're still feeling that. It's still running through your head. Those coaches, those teachers, even those youth ministers who may have given you messages that are still playing in your head and affecting your well-being, your joy in life, your ability to really be who God wants you to be, because you're still running the messages of who they wanted you to be. Let's help you find new freedom in Christ today and actually feel the joy of being able to meet the standards that you are being called to meet in a very different way than you may think. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And maybe you're wondering, well, how could some, you know, theology help me with perfectionism? Well, I am so glad you asked that question. Well done. So it turns out... The perfect question for the show. When he was Pope, St. John Paul asked a huge question that basically said, if we looked at everything that God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for greatness, for sainthood, but not for perfectionism. St. John Paul II taught that God made us in his image and likeness, with bodies and souls that reveal God's love. Before the fall, Humanity was perfect. It was whole and integrated and at peace. Deep down, we still carry a memory of that lost perfection, and we grieve the loss of it. The problem is, instead of letting God heal that wound, we often try to fix it ourselves. That's where perfectionism actually creeps in.
So perfectionism is our attempt to, in a sense, redeem ourselves or prove our worthiness without grace. And it comes in two forms, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier. First, beating up on ourselves, but then second, being overly critical of others. And both are driven by the fear that we or the people around us aren't good enough or aren't going to be good enough. So the thing is, though, true excellence actually grows out of knowing we're already loved by God, and not from trying to prove our worth through flawless performance. In other words, we need to learn how to work from love instead of always working for love.
Modern neuroscience even supports this. When we feel criticized, whether by ourselves or others, our brains produce chemicals that stop new neural connections from forming. Because of that, any changes we try to make can't stick. And we keep making the same mistakes no matter how hard we try. But when we feel safe and loved, even in our mistakes, our brains release chemicals that make change possible.
You know, that's an important thing to consider from a theology of the body perspective, because people who kind of teach the theology of the body, there's a saying that the biology is theology, that how God built our bodies and brains teach us a lot about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy relationships. So even though we're called to sainthood, we need to reject the pursuit of perfectionism, because a saint isn't someone who never falls. There's someone who keeps getting up and trusting in God's mercy. God isn't calling us to be flawless. He's calling us to be faithful, to let his perfect love make us whole again. And that real holiness, that being perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus put it, begins not when we conquer our weakness, but when we meet Christ in it. 877-573-7825. We're talking about perfectionism on our show today, titled Nobody's Perfect. If you are struggling with perfectionism, struggling with somebody who is putting impossibly high standards on you and you feel like you have to be perfect to win their approval, or you care about somebody who's trapped in that experience of perfectionism, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you told us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But help us to understand that you were not talking about perfectionism, but rather allowing ourselves to be perfected through the experience of the Father's love. We bring to you those parts of our lives where we feel like we're not going to be good enough or can never be good enough. We bring to you those relationships where people are placing impossibly high standards on us and we feel like we have to jump through hoops to win their approval. We bring to you all the people that we care about who are trapped in that ghost of perfectionism that's haunting them constantly, telling them that they're never good enough. We ask you, Lord, to help us to root ourselves in your grace so that we can focus on working from love instead of always working for love. Help us to not try to flog ourselves to perfection by conquering all of our weaknesses, but instead help us to remember to invite you into our weaknesses so that you can make us whole again. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled Nobody's Perfect. We're talking about overcoming perfectionism, whether it's your own tendency to beat up on yourself, somebody else's tendency to beat up on you, or you care about somebody who is struggling with perfectionism. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver.
Hi, Sue. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling on behalf of my relationship with my niece, who lives in another state. I am her confirmation sponsor, and she got confirmed maybe 5 years ago, and she now has two young children. Okay. And she just shared with me this week that she feels like she's not doing enough, and I've seen this pattern, and we've talked about it through the years, of that she's not spending enough time in prayer, that she's not giving enough of herself, mostly in prayer or adoration, or in also in being the mom that she wants to be. And I just would like, I've used some of your suggestions from the past of reminding her that she's not called to monastic life. She's called to
Good for
a home
you.
Life. And I've also just done what you've suggested too, where we just stop talking and I say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I just pray for her right then. And just bring it to the Lord. But I know that this is not something that's going to disappear overnight, that it's a, I don't know.
How does she respond whenever you try those things? Do you feel
so
like they land?
Appreciative. Yes, okay. I do. I feel like they land. I feel that she's so appreciative and that she kind of feels like a release of, okay, I don't have to, you know, seek that perfection idea that's in her head that isn't reality.
Good. So I'm glad to hear that she's open to it. So where do you think she's getting stuck, though? Because, you know, I understand that if you just say this to somebody once or even a dozen times, it doesn't necessarily sink in.
Right.
But do you have a sense of what sets her up to feel that way about herself? Like, are there certain things going on in her life in the present, or is that just sort of a constant thing for her?
She's told me that it's a constant battle for her, this searching for perfection, and knowing how she grew up, and knowing her mom and dad and how their life was, I can understand a little bit more of the backstory. And we've talked about that at times.
Okay. And you don't have to go into detail, but I guess what I'm taking from that comment is that she grew up in a place where she maybe felt like she had to earn love instead of it being given freely.
I think not. I think it was that maybe she wasn't paid as much attention to. It was a home with not a lot of discipline. And so I think she had to seek out that attention.
And that's a different form of what I mean, but it's exactly the kind of thing. Yeah,
okay.
Because when you say there wasn't a lot of discipline, what you're also saying is there wasn't a lot of attention.
Yeah, so she had to work to get anything, basically, that kind of edified her or made her feel secure.
Yeah, and so exactly, we're being raised in that environment where, you know, I have to initiate to get my parent to attend to me or to compliment me or to give me time, is very difficult. So the reason I ask this is because I want to see, you know, kind of what you could do. You're doing a lot of terrific things. She's very blessed to have you in her life, and I'm so glad that you've been able to share some of the things that we've talked about on this program about, you know, how she is worshiping God by attending to her children and building her domestic church, and, you know, and I think too that just a couple of thoughts. First of all, she learned that she had to work for love, right? Even in the example that you gave, it wasn't that her parents were disapproving. It was that they weren't attended. They weren't available. And so she had to work for it to get that sense. And I would really kind of describe that, the difference between working for love versus working from love. Working for love is I never feel good enough. I feel like I always have to do something to prove myself, to justify myself. Working from love begins with spending time in prayer and recognizing how much God loves me and that he's working in me and with me, and he wants to do great things through me. And so I'm just going to do those things that I do as a way of sharing the love that I feel from God with others. That's a very different place from, I don't feel loved and I don't feel connected and I don't feel God's love, and so I'm going to have to do all these things to prove that I'm worthy of love. And changing that orientation can be difficult, and that could be some, but you can share that idea with her and get her thinking about maybe seeking some help that would enable her to heal those deeper wounds. The other thing that I'll just share, and then we'll have to hop off for break, is, you know, when she thinks that she's not a good person or a good mom or a good Christian or whatever, we have a tendency to focus on outcome stuff. Like, I would be a good mom if I did all these things. I would be a good Christian if I did all these things. I would be a good person if I did all these things. A good person isn't a perfect person. A good person is somebody who is able to learn from their mistakes and constantly bringing that weakness to God and saying, okay, Lord, teach me what to do next. That's why St. Paul says, therefore, I will boast of my weakness, right? Because he's saying that he knows that God is working through him. And so being a good person doesn't mean that he doesn't have any weaknesses. It means that he sees how God's working through those things. I got to let you go with that, Sue, but I would really encourage you to let her know about the Catholic Home app, Catholic HOM, because I would love to support her in really living this out and being more effective in sharing, in experiencing God's love and experiencing that spirituality in the home and being able to really feel good enough. But you can learn more at Catholic by downloading the Catholic HOM app. Thanks for the call. We'll be back after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about perfectionism today on More to Life. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselors Program in Performance Excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to be here.
So, you know, you work with a lot of people who are trying to be their best. How do we resist that trap of perfectionism or escape it when we fall into it?
Yeah, you know, perfectionism often really does feel like just kind of a never-ending chase, right? Where no matter how much you do, there's always one more thing you should have done or one more way it could have been better. And instead of feeling proud, we end up feeling behind. But really, the truth is perfectionism isn't the goal. Growth, authenticity, and progress are. So a tip that helps a lot of my clients kind of break out of this is to shift our measurement system from did I do it perfectly to did I move forward. When we find ourselves stuck in that loop of rewriting and overthinking and holding ourselves back because something isn't flawless, pause and ask yourself, did I take a step that aligned with my values or goals? Am I moving forward even in a small way? And can I let done be better than perfect today? Because by focusing on that forward momentum, we start to rewire our brain away from that constant criticism and towards self-recognition. So over time, our confidence builds, not because we did everything flawlessly, but because we proved to ourselves that we can keep showing up. We have to remember that confidence doesn't come from being perfect. It comes from that consistent, courageous action, even when it's messy. So that's where we learn how to trust ourselves and trust that God is working with us. So the next time that perfectionism is kind of trying to paralyze you or hold you back, don't ask, is this perfect? We need to ask, does this move me forward? That one shift can really just be the most freeing step that we take.
Well, and I think that, you know, you're building on or sort of even emphasizing what I was talking about with our previous caller about her niece, who is really just feeling like she's never good enough at anything because she's looking at these kind of outcomes. I would be a good mom if I did X, Y, and Z. I'd be a good Christian if I did X, Y, and Z. I'd be a good person if I did, you know. And it's not so much about the doing. It's about the process, right? It's about being able to say, okay, this is what I'm learning. This is how I'm growing. This is how I'm continuing to show up for the task at hand, whether that's being a mom or being a Christian or being a person. I'm giving myself credit for showing that, for showing up and cooperating with God's grace. I think that's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Absolutely. It's about that process, and it's also about the evidence, right? The evidence that we have that you're a good mom, you know, the evidence that you have that you're still showing up, you know, and so that we can acknowledge the progress that we are making and the ways that God is working through us.
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work, you can come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and check out our program in performance excellence. That's CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls right now on perfectionism, on More to Life, 877-573-7825. More with your questions after the break.
How do we make satisfaction, do penance for our sins? Absolution from a priest takes away sin, the Catholic Catechism tells us, but it does not remedy all the disorders caused by sin. For instance, if we wrong our neighbors, we must repair the harm as far as possible, i.e., we must return stolen goods, restore the reputation of anyone we have slandered, compensate the person we have injured. Not only does sin hurt the person we have wounded, it injures the sinner. In order to regain our spiritual health, we must do something to make amends, and that is where expiation for sin comes in. Thus, the confessor administers a penance for the person's spiritual good that is commensurate with the gravity of their sins. Confession brings not only reconciliation with God, but also with the Church. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, "I do" to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Nobody's Perfect. As we talk about perfectionism and all the ways that perfectionism complicates our lives, do you tend to beat up on yourself for not being good enough, either in a particular role you play or maybe just in general? You know, maybe you feel like you can never be a good enough parent. Maybe you feel like an imposter at your job, or maybe you just never feel like a good enough Christian or good enough person. For that matter, maybe somebody in your life is always putting their impossibly high standards on you. That spouse who's never happy. The parent who never seems to approve of anything you do. That child, whether it's a young child or an adult child, who you feel like you can never seem to do enough for. Maybe you're struggling yourself with being too hard on the people that you love, putting your own impossibly high standards on them. Or maybe you care about somebody, you know, your child, a friend, a family member, a spouse, who is beating themselves up and really trapped in that place of perfectionism. And you're not sure how to help them escape. Well, let us help you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Amy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia, emailed us at questions@moretoliferadio.com right after our Theology of the Body reflection. She said, we want our children, who are 11, 9, and 7, to do well in school. My husband wants them to work for all A's. They study hard and do their homework, but sometimes don't get these top grades. I'm seeing this cause them stress. And when I heard Lisa say that when someone feels criticized, it can lock down their brains, it confirmed for me that we might be damaging our kids' capability somehow. What can we do instead? And that's Amy in Virginia.
Okay. Thank you for the question, Amy. And, you know, it's natural for kids to get flooded whenever they're doing homework and getting stressed and they're learning something new. They get overwhelmed with that sense that I'm never going to be able to do this, right? And when we try to push them through that, sometimes we can make it worse because we end up increasing the stress level, which then shuts their brain down more and causes them to be even more reactive.
And if what your husband is doing, and you say it's your husband, but if it's both of you, is checking the result all the time. So they studied, they were, you know, there, you witnessed their hard work, you perhaps drilled them in whatever the skill was that they were supposed to be mastering at homework time. And then your husband says, what did you get on the test? What did you get on the project? And he's assessing everything by the grade. That's when that can really get locked in. My suggestion to you is to start parenting with the idea of what are the virtues that your kids are exercising or that you want to instill in them that are going on in these times. Rather than, did you get the A? Did you get the A? Did you get the A? It's, okay, something happened here and you got less than A, but boy, we really saw how diligent you were about studying for this, and we're impressed with your diligence. Good job. It's difficult that you didn't get the grade that you wanted on this. It can feel unfair. We appreciate the fact that you're using self-control to not freak out about this, and we can figure out together what maybe we can do to help you change that. You know, what was the difficulty in it? When we start looking at and naming the virtues that our kids are living out and that we want them to live out, and we parent from that place, that lets them be affirmed because they are living virtuous lives. They are doing good things that give them the progress that Rachel Isaac was talking about in our last segment. But it's not you only get our approval if this is the result.
Yeah, and I this goes back to what we were talking about with our first caller and even in Rachel's segment. We all have a tendency to focus on outcome rather than process. And we can't control any of the outcomes, ever. You know, so when I'm working with a student, for example, who has anxiety because they're worried about their grades and, you know, how they're going to perform in the class and all those sorts of things, I make a point of saying, you know, it's possible that you could do everything right and still not get a great grade. But and that's not, you know, that's outside your control. What you can always do and what you can control is making sure you had a good process for studying, for example. You know, if I didn't study and I got A's anyway, I mean,
and that happens
and
to
that
some
happens,
people.
But I didn't necessarily learn anything. It's just they're just rubber stamping what I already know. Right. If that doesn't say that I'm better than somebody else. It just means that I was naturally talented at that thing or I had the experience that let me do well here.
Exactly. And it says nothing about their character. So what you want in your children, I'm really hearing here, Amy, is for them to develop the character that will help them to succeed in life. Not necessarily get all A's so they can get into this college and then do that thing, although we can all as parents have the sort of that forward vision of something. But to build the skills, the resilience, and the character to help them become what God wants them to become in life. And those things go across every facet of life. It's relationship, it's scholastics, it's career, it's Christianity.
So what you want to do is be sitting down with the kids and talking through what is a good process for learning to study well. And if they're doing that process, you compliment them and you affirm them for what, regardless of the grade they get, because they have a good process and they did all the things.
And naming that process in terms of the virtues they're living out, you know, their fortitude, their diligence, their bravery at going in and taking the test, all of these things, their self-control, and I'd rather go watch TV or I'd, you know, rather just fall asleep on the couch, but I'm doing this, I'm controlling my reactions. When you start naming that, then you're affirming the skills, the virtues, and the character that they have. And that will build in that resilience no matter how those grades come in, positive or less than positive. They suddenly don't define themselves by the grade, but by their character and by the virtues they can live by forever, no matter what the circumstances throw at them.
Now, if they do poorly on a test, or they don't do as well as they might like, or you might like for that matter, the way to talk about that is to say, well, let's look at your process. Let's see, is there something that we can learn, you know, from this experience? Is there something that you could have done better, that we could have done together more? Let's look at that process and see if there was anything that fell short in that process that we could control in the future so that maybe you would do better. But really look at that process, not necessarily the grade, and be able to say, you know, well, you actually did all the things, and so this was the best grade you could get under these circumstances with the process that we had. Or we've shored up the process, so next time you might be able to do better because we've now included this piece in the process.
And that includes possibly, if this becomes a situation in particular class, going, you know, having your child go or the two of you together going to the teacher and saying, hey, we'd like to run our process by you. This is how so-and-so studied for this test. This is how we backed them up in this. But the result wasn't what we had hoped for. We don't, and especially if you feel like it's not just a one-off where some teachers, unfortunately, kind of put things in to kind of make it harder to get a perfect grade in something. But if it's something where you're saying, I don't feel like my child is mastering the skill, that's when you go to the teacher and say, how can we shore up the process? What should we be looking at here that we're not seeing? So that you have as much information as possible to take back home for those study sessions. But when, even in doing that, you know, you're saying, hey, good for you. You were humble enough to go to the teacher and advocate for yourself. You were brave enough to go in there and do that. When we begin to do that, our children really then know in other circumstances in life, I have been brave before. I have been diligent before. I have been humble enough to ask for help before. Whatever those things are, so they know that they've got that God-given virtue to be able to handle things in the future as well.
Right. Thank you so much for the question. And if there's more we can do to support you, Amy, don't hesitate to reach out. And we are taking your calls on our show today titled Nobody's Perfect, as we talk about the struggles with perfectionism, either our own tendencies to beat up on ourselves, the tendencies of someone we love to beat up on themselves, or the tendency of people that we are in relationship with to place their own impossibly high standards on us. Perfectionism can play out in lots of different ways, and we want to help you respond gracefully to all of those challenges. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.
And again, this is, you know, St. Paul talking to God about his struggle to overcome some personal sin or difficulty he was going through, and beating up on himself for not accomplishing it. And the Lord tells him, you know, my grace is sufficient. You know, my power is made perfect in weakness. And then St. Paul goes on to talk about how, therefore, I will boast of my weakness. And his point is that when, well, it goes back to the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. Right? Being poor in spirit basically just means, practically speaking, admitting I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know. When I wake up in the morning, I don't know how to do any of it.
Right? And it all scares me to death.
Yeah, and it all...
You know, that's the other thing. It's not just, oh, I'm so weak. It's really being honest with God and saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get through the next steps of my life. And it all terrifies me. And I'm throwing myself at your feet. That's because, step one of the day.
Exactly. Because that is true for every single one of us. Every person, myself, everybody, right? None of us know what we're doing, and we're all scared.
And if we think we do, then we've got some narcissistic issues we've got to work out. But most of us are just in that place.
But if we bring that to God and say, okay, Lord, that's where I'm at, but I can't wait to see what you do through me.
And help me hear you. Help me to see what you want me to do. Help me to connect with your plan.
So if anything good comes out of my day, I'm able to praise God because I know that I, you know, if I managed to do anything good, he made it happen. And it's that kind of sense that allows us to feel good enough because it's never about us. It's about God loving us and being able to see how God's working through us and praising him for using me even though I don't know what I'm doing and I'm terrified all the time.
And this is such a contradiction to what the world and even many distorted quasi-Christian ideas have come to us as. And those ideas are the things that say, you'll only be accepted by God. You can only approach God in prayer, in the sacraments, in anything, if you've earned his attention and his love, if you've done everything perfectly, if you've checked off all the boxes on your virtue list, if you've made all the sacrifices, then you can approach God. And that denies the cross. Because the cross is all about making up for our weaknesses and literally opening his arms wide for us to come to him and say, I'm weak, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, but I want you, Lord. And that's the difference.
Amen.
That's the twist in it all. That is such a gift from God.
Well, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about perfectionism on our show today titled Nobody's Perfect. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Nobody's Perfect, as we talk about the struggles with perfectionism. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Angela, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arkansas.
Angela, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello, thank you. Debate on how to handle our three of our four children are transgender. They're adults. The youngest one is 20. They all talk to me. They do not talk to him very much. It's strange, but my husband is not Catholic, is wants very badly to just text them all day long, scripture verses, uplifting stuff, just anything he can do to, you know, possibly change their mind. Basically, but in his head, the way he saves his children is throwing as much scripture at them as humanly possible. I, on the other hand, I am not quite like that. I don't use the pronouns that they add, but I'll use their name. But they listen to me. I pray for them a lot and just try to give them good advice, because at least they listen and talk. And we're kind of at odds.
Just to understand the concept, you said the youngest is 20. How old are the kids?
From 30 down to 20.
Okay, and then are these biological males or
yes.
Biological? And just they're all biological males.
I got two biological males, one biological female.
Okay, and those are the three that are transgendered, and then you have one other child besides. Okay.
Right, and they blocked. I guess one of them was talking to him, and she just blocked him because he kept sending her Christian stuff, and they don't consider. You know, they don't. She said too much. Quit pushing and that. But he's like, how else do I get him?
And yeah. I understand. So you're absolutely right that his approach is not only going to drive them away; it's going to make the situation infinitely worse. And I want to talk about the difference between accompaniment and approval. And we actually discussed this at length in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversation with Adult Sons and Daughters. It's a book that's really about how do we come alongside of our adult children who are not living the way we raised them to live, or who are making choices that we're really worried about or frustrated with. How do we come alongside of our kids and not throw our faith and values under the bus, but still be an instrument of grace in their lives? And so we go into a lot more detail in the book than I'm going to be able to go into in the in the call here, but I'll get you started, and then I really want you to follow up with that resource and read it together. I'd also like you to download today's podcast and maybe listen to it with your husband so that you guys can be praying and talking about this together. You know, the anguish that you both must feel, I can certainly appreciate it, and you know, it's impossible to describe. The pain and the concern that you must have for your adult kids, and I understand that. And when we feel that kind of pain, we want a quick fix. We want to be able to say, you know, if I could just push this button, then that will make everything click. And of course, we believe in the power of grace. We believe in God's power, and so that then causes us to fall into the trap of thinking, well, if I just preach at them enough, then God will work a miracle, and it's going to come around. And you know what? God can work miracles. He does work miracles, but this is not the way He does it. And miracles are also rare by nature. So the normative way, you know, that God works is through us and through our relationships with people. And so we need to know how to come alongside of our adult kids, even if we don't approve. And here's the difference. Approval is where I say, everything you're doing is fine, keep it up. Okay. Accompaniment is where we come alongside somebody, in this case our adult kids, and say, you know, I love you, and I see that you are looking for good things. You know, you're looking for an identity. You're looking for love. You're looking for healing. You're looking for community. Those are all good things to want. I'm just really afraid that the way you're pursuing those things is not going to get you what you're looking for, and may even cause greater hurt for you. And sue me, I'm your parent. I want the best for you. Okay, so I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to reject you or judge you. I'm telling you that I want the best for you. And I'm afraid that the path you're going down sets you up to either accept less than everything God wants to give you, or sets you up to really be hurt down the road. And that's where this is coming from. Right? So you're able to acknowledge the good things they're pursuing even while you're calling attention to your concerns about the way they're pursuing those things. And that's how you, and then you, and then you also support whatever healthy things they are doing. So if they're looking, you know, they're getting a job, you know, they're contributing to society in certain ways, you know, they're reaching out to you, you know, that you accompany, you approve of, and you support and encourage all the positive things that they're doing as well, so that they understand that your concerns are coming from a loving place. Your husband's approach, even though I know he loves your kids and I know that he wants the best for them, they feel like a project. They don't recognize God's love in what he's doing. They recognize judgment and rejection and pain. And I understand that that's not what your husband's trying to do. Again, I believe that he's hoping that God will work a miracle, that if he can just preach the right verses of Scripture or say the right, quote the right doctrines, that that's going to push the button that makes it all right again. And that's not how this works, not at all. And so the more you both can do what I'm describing here, you know, supporting the good things they're doing, affirming the intention, even if you can't affirm the way they're going about meeting those intentions, the more God can use you as a source of positive influence and instrument of grace in their lives. But the more your husband locks down and keeps doing what he's doing, the more they're going to reject him, the more they're going to reject God, the more they're going to reject faith in general. And that's exactly what neither of you wants, right? So this is a very painful and long-term thing, but I really encourage you to really reflect on this difference between approval and accompaniment. And I would also encourage you to not just get the book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. I'd encourage you to reach out for some pastoral counseling through CatholicCounselors.com, because this is really hard to manage. This is a very, very, these are very challenging relationships to navigate. It there's a lot of blowback on the marriage. You know, there's a lot of questioning about, you know, what did I do or what happened here? You know, whether that's legitimate or not. We when our kids don't live the way we raised them to live, we end up doing a lot of that kind of soul searching and coming up with a lot of really painful thoughts that may or may not be legitimate. Working through all that with a good, faithful counselor can really help you stay strong with each other through this, be there for your adult kids in ways that don't cause you to throw your faith and values under the bus, but still allow you to be an instrument of grace in their lives, and begin to discern pathways toward healing as well. So, Angela, I hope you can run with the suggestions that I've made. I hope that you'll download the podcast and play it for your husband later, and you guys can really listen to this and pray through it together. I do hope that you'll get the book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. But ultimately, I would love to see you reach out for some personalized guidance through CatholicCounselors.com so we could walk with you through this and help you find ways to minister to your children, to be instruments of grace in their lives, and to stay strong with each other through it all. Thanks again for the call. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you or someone you care about is wrestling with perfectionism and you're ready to let it go, let us help you at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.